Thanks, Clarence and the guys. Good morning, everyone. Trust you are well. I hope you are all on holiday by now. Anyone still working? Okay, there's quite a few people working. We'll pray for you. I feel with you. My wife is also still working. One more day.
I feel with her.
You feel with her because she's standing on her legs the whole day. Yes, yes, yes. You know what it's about, Carol. So, yeah, for those of you who are visiting or already spending time with friends and family, I hope you're enjoying it. And holiday times are precious times as well. I remember when I was very young, newly saved, I got that October saved, born again, and I had a friend at varsity, and he told me, you know, he's really looking forward to the holiday. And I said, man, I'm also looking forward to the holiday. I mean, which student, 22 years old, will not be looking forward to holiday? Except if you obviously made a mess of your studies, I guess. But nevertheless, and old Philip, he told me, no, he's really looking forward to the holiday because it's a time where he can spend more time in the Word, a time where he can pray, a time where he can really spend time with God. And at that stage, it was quite a revelation for me. I usually, up till then, look forward to holidays of just a time. I mean, when you're a student, usually you have the most leave or holiday you will ever have. Up after that, life gets worse. You know, then you get 20 days or 25 days if you're really lucky. So enjoy that if you're young and you're on holiday now. But it's also a time, I think, almost it's a time for us to zoom in and a time to zoom out. You know, it's a time to take that binoculars and sometimes, if you take it from the one side, then something that's very far, it will come close. And if you turn it around, then something that's very close, it will look quite far. And it's a time for us to allow God also to come into our lives. Sometimes we need to zoom out and we need to see the bigger picture. We need to see what things are about. And sometimes we must allow God to zoom in as well. And maybe he must come with the scalpel and delicately need to do a bit of surgery in our lives. So I want to encourage you. I remember last year, this time was one of those times I just felt like God is zooming in. He's now working and doing under construction. But that's precious times. It's times that God also wants to work through with us. So I want to encourage you, if you are already on holiday and you've got a bit of time, my wife is still working, as I said, but early in the morning, I tell to my wife, I'm just going to go exercise. I'm going to take my dogs and I'm going to just run a bit. And the rest of the day, I'll look after the kids and make food and check that the whole household is still operating. So when she comes home, you know, the beds are made, the food's perfect. I mean, not quite. I'm trying. Sometimes that's just in a personal joke. My wife will, she's working really hard this time of the year, and she'll come home and at 6 or 7, and then she said, "But isn't it the same clothes the boys had on the day before?" And I'm like, "Well, that's fine. Boys are boys. It's no problem. At least we brush their teeth every morning and night. That's good enough." Okay, all jokes on the side. As I said, I just the past week or two preparing, asking God, Lord, what can I share on? And, you know, I remember in 2007, it was also this time of the year, close to Christmas and end of the year. I was with my wife. We were, I think it was 2007, in Mossel Bay with my parents-in-law. And they had this place where they lived, like a complex or something close by the sea. And there was this, on the Sunday, there was all the people that's going there for holiday. There was a sermon or a church service. And we went there as well. But usually you expect a type of a laid-back type of a sermon, I guess. I mean, it's holiday, really. Yuch, and I remember that morning, that guy preached that whole place on fire. It was really a blessing. So I'll try my best this morning. Hopefully it's holiday, so the screensavers. I think it's actually a good time to preach because usually when people are working and they're focused and stuff, then we must say, hey, okay, let's give time for God here and let's focus. But hopefully everyone is so relaxed and their hearts are open just to receive the word of God this morning. I spend my time reading and researching. I love it. I love it when I have time for myself where I can just do what I want to. I think my definition of holiday will be something where I can do what I want, when I want, as long as I want to. Because, you know, when we work or we're really busy, then there's a lot of schedules and things that dictate what we must do and when we must do, and children must go to school, and those type of things. So I appreciate time like that, and fortunately I had a bit of time to read and research and just enrich myself. Really nice, also in the Word, of course. But this morning I want to share, I had this two things on my heart as I prepared for the day, and the one was the scripture, 1 John, where he says, the whole world is under the sway of the wicked one. Now, that sounds like a spoiling the holiday type of scripture, not a really positive type of a scripture. And the thing about the two kingdoms, please don't leave the church now. I know, I'm just teasing, okay. There's not that many people, so it's easier to make jokes, I guess. And the thing about, you know, the two kingdoms, I had it in my heart and I was praying about it. And just as I was walking, spending time with God, you know, this is what settled in my heart. And then I just felt, you know, I haven't listened to one of our Stellenbosch sermons for a while. And then I want to encourage you as well to Pastor Fred May preach on the 29th of November. In the morning, the AM service and the evening service, he preaches a sermon called Days of Upheaval. And I really want to encourage you to go and listen to one of those sermons. I really believe it's a blessing. And, you know, if you say it's a good sermon, what's a good sermon really? I would say it's relevant sermon. I believe it's a touching, cutting our hearts sermon. And as I listened to it, it really just crossed the line about the things I had in my own heart and I felt I wanted to share. So I guess it was a lot of confirmation to me. And then also in the past week, if you don't receive the Shofar newsletter, please speak to me afterwards, then I can forward it to you, or I can tell you where you can find it, the global newsletter. And Pastor Fred also wrote a 4-page, devotion or something on days of upheaval, something really interesting. So I just want to encourage you to listen to that as well. And as I said, it really blessed me a lot. So this morning, I want to start and I want to read from Mark 13 from verse 1. So if you've got Bibles here, you can follow. I will read for us. And as he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." And Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew ask him privately. You know, and then they ask a question. Now, if you read it, sometimes we have to go back in time and you need to think what the setting were. So I just went to Google. I've never been to Israel. And you can go, Alan and John, to that first picture. Now, this is what Google tells me. It's a little bit not so bright, but the Mount of Olives looks something like that. I've never been. Is Google lying? Someone that's been in Israel, does it look like that more or less? Yes, it's people say yes, so they're not lying. So if you think back, Jesus and Peter and John, Andrew, they were sitting there and they had a private conversation. Jesus wasn't talking to the multitudes at that stage. He was talking to a smaller crowd. Now, there's almost this, I want to say with respect, this little bit of jealousy. And I thought like, Jesus, I would... Now, obviously, we've got the opportunity to speak to Jesus as well, but I would like to sit there on the Mount of Olives, just listening to Jesus, and then, man, I've got 101 questions I want to ask. Who of you have got questions that you want the answers for? I think I've got, but Jesus, what about this? And what about that? And can you maybe add that in Scripture? It's going to make it easier for our pastors. And, you know, we can go on with a list like that. But nevertheless, they were sitting there talking, and then they say to Jesus in verse 4, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished?" Now, that's a typical, I guess, human question. I think that's one of the 1,000 or 1,000,001 questions I would also ask Jesus. Okay, Jesus, you preach, you say these things will happen, so how will it happen? When will it happen? Okay, and then we turn the page to verse 5. And Jesus began to say to them, "See that no one leads you astray." Now, that's a very important thing in life, I guess, for all of us, to be deceived. It's sad when we see someone get deceived for whatever reason or led astray. It's always a warning that we see throughout Scripture that we should guard our hearts, that we should be awake, that we should be vigilant, etc., those type of things. And today I want to say a few things. And as I said, I really, really want to refer you, go and listen to Pastor Fred, those two sermons and the thing devotional he wrote in the newspaper. I think it will be challenging for some of us, but for some of us, it will also open up a bit of a world. And I can tell you here this morning, we shouldn't believe everything we read in newspapers. If you listen to BBC or CNN, you should be careful and you should know that there's ideologies and agendas. I used the example, my good friend Pastor Jaco van Rooyen, he was sitting there at the back and I was using him as an example. Now, we know he's shouting for a certain rugby team and I'm shouting for another team. We can make it soccer teams, cricket teams, chess teams. What other sports do you support? Use your own type of sport. Now, here might be the thing. It might be the final. And I'm praying here, please God, let my team win. And he might pray the same prayer. Now, sure, God is good. God is fair and righteous. What's God going to do? Will it be the white team or the black team or the green team or the orange team or the this or that or my favorite tennis player versus yours? We do that sometimes. Or maybe you're coming from the south of Namibia. For the town of Marintal, who knows where Marintal is? Who doesn't know where it is? The forecast said this morning it's going to be 42 degrees in Marintal today. If you come from Swakopmund, you don't have no frame of reference what that might mean, okay? Oh, I think so. So I've been only living here for 7 months, so I've never seen that type of temperatures. But you see, there might be a guy coming from that part of the world in our country, and he might pray, God, I pray for mist. I pray for cool weather. I pray for nothing above 20 degrees. And there might be other person with small kids. God, I pray that the sun will shine, that there will be no wind, that the water will be warm. You hear what I'm saying? It's the same with the sport teams. Okay, so we just need to understand, in a bigger scheme of things, in a bigger picture, you know, when we read newspapers, when we listen to television stations or broadcasting corporations, okay, don't eat everything up. Go and do a bit of research as well, what they are really saying, okay? My team against your team, the West and the East, Russia and Northern America. You know, you hear what I'm saying this morning? Just go and see a little bit who's doing what, okay? We're going to get to that a little bit later on. See that no one leads you astray. Verse 6, many will come in my name saying, I am ye, and they will lead many astray. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet. Okay, once again, you can go to a good old friend Google. Go and Google for yourself how many false messiahs or Jesuses there have been in history, especially in India and many places of the world. Many people standing up and saying, I am the one, I am Jesus. And then, obviously, it was a lie. See that no one leads you astray. Okay, then we see about rumors of wars and wars, stuff like that happening now. That's nothing new under the sun, in a sense, you know. We know about all the wars in the history we could have read about. And currently, there's if you go and Google it as well, there's a lot of wars right now as we're sitting here in our peaceful, wonderful Swakopmund. There's a lot of people around the world, whether it's Afghanistan or Syria or Africa or the Middle East, that's not sure, you know, will their town or where they live be safe today? Will there be people of another faith or another military maybe come and attack them? We are very privileged where we live here right now. But we're gonna see what Scripture says to us in this part as well. Verse 8, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. There will be, these are but the beginning of the birth pains. Now, this is the words of Jesus Christ, you know. So sometimes I think in a holiday time we want to preach nice things and nothing wrong with that. I've thought about just in my mind about preaching on family or stuff that I really enjoy. But after I also, what I felt on my heart about the kingdoms and after I listened to Pastor Fred's, you know, sermons, there was something that was cutting the line. I made a promise to myself, I will not end up today giving an academic lecture or a geopolitical information session or a political science type of a thing, although I'm very tempted because those things are very interested. And, you know, they're so, You know, there was a time a few hundred years ago when most people couldn't read or write. But today we are fortunate if you can read and write and you can use a laptop, you can Google almost anything. And there's a lot of a whole world going open to us, I guess. But just a little bit on, I just want to use four examples or four verses out of this part in Matthew. And I actually want to encourage you, go and read Matthew 13. Or go and read, Mark 13 or Matthew 24. It's basically the same information, Jesus saying almost the exact same words in those two parts of Scripture. So hear the words of Jesus in Mark 13 verse 9. He says, "But be on your guard." Mark 13 verse 23, "But be on your guard, I have told you all things beforehand." Mark 13 verse 33, "Be on your guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come." Mark 13 verses 37, "And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake." Now, I think when Jesus says something in Scripture, if he says it once, you know, I think we should listen. Okay, and if in a small part of or one chapter, you know, if he says something three or four times, be on your guard, be vigilant, be awake, you know, we should pay attention to what he's saying here, because it's for us. I want to quote a passage from Pastor Fred's sermon that he was using there on the 29th, and you can go listen to yourselves. And he was referring to this part of Scripture, and he said, "We cannot afford to withdraw, shut down, and go into denial. The reason why we cannot do that is because Christ made a point of speaking into this time of history. If he does that, it must be for a good reason." Okay? And also in this part, we see the parable of the fig tree. And basically, Jesus said, listen, if you see the new leaves, then you know it's summer, okay? It's, in a sense, not rocket science, but if you see these things happen, then you can know what is coming, okay? So yeah, something else. I'm not trying to sow fear. I don't want to scare anyone, motivate anyone into something or anything like that. Please hear my heart this morning. I, in a sense, just want to start a conversation. Things that we need to talk about, things that, you know, we should actually go and dig a bit deeper and just also listen to this part of Scripture that is also for us here today. Things are happening around us, and if I just go, you know, so maybe you sit here this morning and you think like, Pastor, what are you talking about? It's the 20th of December, and then the screensaver of the holiday want to go on. So don't let the screensaver go on yet. Just give me a few more minutes. When we talk about kingdom against kingdom, Peter, Aaron, John, you can show that next picture. You know, my boys, they are now 7 years old, and they've got Lego. So they've got this little men, and they build castles, and they've got swords and spears and horses. And, you know, you don't have to teach boys to play things like that. They just do it. Amen? Yeah. Boys in the house, they just do it. I did it. I guess that's how life has been always. So when we think about kingdom against kingdom, you know, these type of pictures comes to my mind. You know, there's a kingdom and there's another kingdom and there's a group of people and they're going to fight down. We're going to see who's the strongest. Now, if you were to spot me in that picture, I would have been somewhere behind those bushes at the back because I've got a brain, okay? You see, I'm not sure if we look at that type of warfare. You know, if you were in the front line, sure, 50% chance of making it or getting seriously wounded, I don't know. If you're a small guy and you ran against a big guy, you're in trouble, okay? It really looks silly to me to fight in that sense, but apparently that's how the guys did it for a long time. So I would be there at the back probably, and people will call me names. I would run and say, yes, we're going to fight, and then I'll put my head in, my feet in a hole, and I'll twist my ankle, and I say, go fight, guys. I'm waiting. I'm praying here from the back. And then I'll go home that night and tell my family we were in a war and I was a great father and a hero, and I actually can live another day. You know, that will be what I would get out of that war, to live another day, because your chances of surviving those type of things, not very well. But that's the movies we see. Okay, let's talk a little bit about God's kingdom. Or maybe the enemy's kingdom. In 1 John 5, verse 19, we read, "We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. The New King James said it says it a little bit different. It says, we know that we are of God and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Now here comes almost a bit of confusion, because on the one hand we hear that God is sovereign and he's the King of ages and King of kings, but we see also on the other side that the whole world is under the sway of the wicked one. So we see here something about two wars going on, these two kingdoms. And I just want to read a quote from, as I said, I love to read, so I usually read a lot of other sermons and listen to other sermons as well. That helps me a lot. And it's from John Piper, you know, and he said regarding this scripture in 1 John, and the whole world is under the sway of the wicked one, he said, this is what we are up against. Not to be aware of it, not to be stunned by it, is to be very vulnerable to it. And the reason why I'm saying that is, before I gave my life to the Lord and I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I was, you know, you're kind of naive, you know. When you receive Christ, our eyes really open up, doesn't it? You know, we really become discerning and sensitive to many things. So when I drive in my car and I put on the radio to listen to the news or something, that's about the only thing I listen to on my car radio, you know, and a certain type of music is playing, man, I can't listen to it. It just doesn't resonate in my heart. Anyone else like that? Yes. Why? There's something that doesn't gel with what we are on our inside. Now, there might be, let's say, an unbeliever sitting next to you, and I'll say, man, this music is from the devil. And that guy might look at me and say something like, ah, man, it's just a song. I mean, really. Okay? The same with movies. Yes, okay, I can't watch a certain type of horror movie or weird type of sci-fi. In fact, I don't watch almost any movies, but that's my personal issues. I'm not going to make that yours. But have you noticed that if you put on the parental control on your TV, okay, it will switch all the cursing words, the foul words, it will cut out. But not when the name of Jesus Christ or God is blasphemed. How does that work? Okay, it's almost like all those other bad words will get, am I correct? I haven't seen a setting where you can cut that as well. Do you know about it? No hands. I don't. Okay. How does that work? Or is it maybe something like a Hollywood that wants to, what's the right language now to use it in vain? I mean, isn't that one of the Ten Commandments, that we shouldn't use God's name in vain? So if you really want to cut out the bad language, you can. Except if God's name, that's okay. I mean, it's just God's name. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? It's like, how can that be? Okay, you need to be sensitive to that. So when I listen to music like that, or there's something on television like that, and it almost seems that even these days, it seems like nice channels are supposed to be like National Geographic or Animal Planet. The other day, I was looking and the guys were catching fish and it just like beep and beep. I thought like, shoo, what's happening to us, huh? It really is this is where we're going, eh? So we can't be naive and just say, okay, ugh, it's just a movie, it's just a song, it's just something like that. There's something that's working that's not part of my kingdom. That's not part of our inside, you know? So if we read here in Matthew 12, verse 25 to 28, knowing their thoughts, he said to them, and this is the words of Jesus, even every kingdom divided against itself is laid to waste, and no city or house divided against itself will stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How will his kingdom stand? And then in verse 27 to 28, and if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do you your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. Verse 28, But if it is by the Holy Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Okay? We see the two kingdoms. We see Jesus referring to the Satan and his kingdom, and we see God and his kingdoms. And that's kingdoms at war. That's kingdoms at fight. And we should understand, Scripture says, the whole world is under the sway of the wicked one. Okay? So that means The enemy is operating. Now, you might once again think, oh, Pastor, you're watching too many conspiracy movies or what. But let's keep to Scripture, and I just want to focus a little bit on these kingdoms, and I think we're going to talk a lot about it in the year to come. In Luke 4, verse 5 to 7, and the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to him, to you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours. You can only give something away that's belonging to you. Okay? So obviously the devil wants to deceive Jesus here into worshiping himself, but Jesus being Jesus rebuked the devil every time and basically said to him, you go away, Satan. You know, get behind me, Satan, that type of a thing. But we see here once again, and I can quote a few more scriptures just to, not to prove the point, but to make it clear that the devil isn't a joke. There's many people that will say, well, the enemy and the devil, and, you know, we don't want to really preach about the devil in that sense, but we do need to acknowledge what he's doing, where he's at work, okay? Because it's a reality. Jesus referred to it as well. And here's the point where I'm going to not fall into the geopolitical things happening right now around the world, but, you know, I remember about April last year, I was still in Windhoek preaching a sermon there, and I just used a few figures, you know. Ed and John, once again, if you can put that slide up with the global military spending. Now, if you just look at that, I trust you can see there, it's $1,747 billion, and there you can see all the zeros. If you transfer it to convert it to Namibian dollars, you must multiply it by about 15 right now, which is quite a lot. That was 2013, and as far as I could see, it's up with about, to 2015, up with about $60 billion more dollars. Now, let's say the world was really a good place, and we take that amount of money just in 1 year, and we say, okay, guys, let's take one continent at a time. Let's start with Africa. We're going to build schools and hospitals and better houses and better education and better this and better that. Man, that's a lot of money. You can do quite a lot with that. And then next year, we take that same $1,747 billion and we say, okay, now we go to Asia or to wherever, the Middle East, and we change the world and we make it a better place. But man, we don't see that happen. Instead, we build bombs, we buy bullets, and we can see the global military spending, is it increasing or decreasing? It's increasing. Why would that be? There's not a lot of them alive anymore, but, you know, go and talk to the people who survived the First World War or the Second World War. And I'm sure if there's one thing, out of all, after seeing all everything in Western Europe reduced to rubble, all the people wiped out and killed, I'm sure they will tell us, people, please just don't do that again. The world's not a better place after that. It's not, okay? But what's happening here again? Right now in the Middle East, we see France, Germany, the United States, Russia, everyone is there. All the big powers is there. We see Saudi Arabia forming a coalition with 34 other countries, you know? And we just see all the storm, all the clouds gathering once again. And it seems if we've learned nothing from history. Now, Scripture said, Jesus said, there will be rumors of wars, kingdom will rise against kingdom, nation will rise against nation. And then he also said a few other things. But just to really hit it home, the world isn't a good place. Don't be fooled about it. If we trusted each other, if we had the fruit of the Spirit, love, peace, joy, self-control, all those things as the whole world, I guess we could say, why do we need big armies? Why do we need big militaries? To do what? But no, the world wants to conquer, the world wants to enslave, the world wants to colonize, etc. That's just a little bit, we know the work of the enemy is to steal, kill, and destroy, to deceive. Okay, just a little bit about God's kingdom, the other kingdom where we find ourselves in. Matthew 4, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It started there. Then John, now you must really hold on. I know it's holiday time. I know it's a bit later in the day. I know I'm using a lot of scripture, but just hang in there. There's a few more scriptures to come. John 18, verse 36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom, if my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not of this world." Okay, and this is just where we see Jesus standing there before Pilatus, Pilate, thank you for helping me there. I'm semi-on holiday as well, getting the words right. And, you know, he just says, listen, that picture that I showed you, if my kingdom were of this world, my servants, my military, my army would have came and probably rescued me. But he says, my army, my kingdom, it doesn't work like that. For the kingdom of God, Romans 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Okay? And the king of this kingdom works completely different. He's not on a pedestal like a worldly king. He's a king that came to die on a cross for you and me. Okay? If we as Christians, the Apostle Paul says, our fight is not against flesh and blood. It's against powers and principalities, against this kingdom of darkness. So where other kings and kingdoms take up guns and machines and aeroplanes to bomb and to destroy, if we want to go to war, what do? We go on our knees and we pray. God's kingdom is working and operating totally, totally different from anything that the world has seen before. A king that came and he gave his life for people to be saved. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 20. For the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. Okay? It's not a feeble little kingdom. Okay? It's a powerful kingdom. God has given so much authority to us to trample on serpents and scorpions and snakes and whatever the case might be, to bind and to loosen and to go and make disciples. It's a powerful kingdom that we have. Revelation 11, verse 15. For the kingdom of God, Revelation 11, verse 15. Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven, saying, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Now, this is something that I love. We see these kingdoms rising against kingdoms. We see it at war all the time, fighting, going to and fro. But we know and we can see in Scripture how things are going to end. We know whose team is going to win at the end. And I believe that must give us so much hope. I remember there was a lady for a season in our church in Windhoek. I think as we're a body, different people represent different parts of the body. And I remember, you know, I don't want to, you know, let's say, you know, she always felt and prayed that, you know, God wanted to bless us and he wanted to provide for us. And that's perfect. I agree with that. Not almost going a little bit too much to the prosperity, health, and wealth side. But you see, that is the truth. God is a father and he wants to bless us as his children. But there's a lot about, on the other side, to bring a balance about suffering. You know, I said earlier, we are so privileged we can go home. We live in Swakopmund and a nation like Namibia. But if we woke up this morning in Afghanistan or in Syria or in the Democratic Republic of the Congo or Southern Sudan, you know, life looks a lot different. We are so blessed where we are. We are so privileged in many ways, you know. So, just to come back to the point I was making here, God's kingdom is powerful. It will reign forever. And we are privileged to be on that side if we are born again Christians. Now, I think the point that I want to make this morning, and I think the thing that it seems to me the Holy Spirit is also speaking to us about, and that's where I've got a lot of respect for Pastor Fred and basically for him, you know, to write in the devotional in the Shofar newsletter, those two sermons. And that's why I really want to point you to that and to go and listen to that, because we need to look at the fig tree and we need to see where we are standing right now. I'm not going to do the I believe Jesus is coming back tomorrow or something. We just need to be aware. As I was pointing out there at a few places, Jesus saying, you know, be on your guard, be awake, be vigilant. We know that Peter is also saying, you know, we should be vigilant. The enemy is walking around like a roaring lion, etc., etc. And, you know, I've got small children, and I wish I could force them to understand already certain things that I've came to see in my own life, you know. And that is just to be careful of certain things, because it can swallow you. It can harm you. It's dangerous in many ways. Okay, so I want to read another quote to you, and it's from Pastor Fred in the staff devotional. He just used the words that I probably don't have myself, and I just want to read it to us this morning. He said, and I'm quoting: "Sometimes history speaks so loudly, it seems to be emblazoned, its scrambled message across the sky in uppercase neon letters, accompanied by thunder peals so deafening that they make the ears tingle. Friday, 13 November, was one such loud moment. Its chilling assertiveness simply demanded humanity undivided attention." And then I previously used a quote where he just said, we can't be ignorant about parts in Scripture like Mark 13, okay? We need to understand that if Scripture says, and he says about wars and rumors of wars, and then the part that I didn't read is basically where it says, okay, flee to the mountains, and then it says about the, basically talks about the Antichrist and stuff like that happening. I think most of us woke up this morning and we probably haven't given thought about Christ returning in the next week, or that the end of the end might happen in the next week or so. And as I said, you might think this morning, Pastor, where are you going? I mean, it's holiday. What are you talking about? But the matter of the fact is, we just need to be awake. We need to be vigilant. And we need to see what's happening all around us. The world isn't becoming a more peaceful place. How long has the United Nations and those type of organizations existed? For a very long time. America started its war against terror way back, when was it, 2002, 2003. Since then, they invaded a lot of countries, killed a lot of people, and there's more terrorists, in their words, than ever before, okay? I'll tell you this morning, they are really using a false flag and a pretext to create wars like that, okay? Go and do a bit of research regarding 9/11 and things like that, okay? Let's go and do a bit of research of your own and see what really happened there. It really seems that it wasn't just these bad Muslim guys who flew with the aeroplane into the Twin Towers. Look how those things collapsed, etc., etc. All the explosion happening on the outside of the building, those type of things. I don't want to talk about that specifically this morning. But many times we get fooled big time, okay? That was probably used as a pretext to invade Iraq, the next country, the next type of country, okay? So those are the type of things that we really have to look at, and we need to see what's the fig tree telling us right now. We can see that Scripture is basically, when we talk about the last days, we can see the picture in many ways are dim. It's kind of scary. Now, I'll tell you this morning, I love things that is certain. I want to understand. I guess I'm quite logical. I wish I could know what next Friday is going to look like. I like the certainty to know I'll probably be there with my family, be able to light a fire, and to know what the next year is going to hold for us. You know, we don't like bad surprises and those type of things. But we must be honest, and I'm just sowing that seed this morning to hear that the tide might turn. The seasons are probably changing. And I can't tell you exactly what's next, what everything is. In that sense, we just need to be very discerning also what is happening around us. Now, I'm not trying to scare you, as I said, but we can know as well, and there's where this calling is upon the church, you know, that the darkest times will be probably the best of our times, you know. I think when life are really blessed and you've got everything in your favor, you know, many times nations are very, and people in general, are very tempted to turn away from God. And then, I've seen it so many times. And then when life really gets hard, we want to come to church, we want to start worshiping again, and we want to see if God can help us maybe out of a tough time or something. Okay? So I believe that as we, every day is a day closer to the end of the end. We can know that. When the end will be, I can't tell you, and if I were to tell you, you should stone me, because Scripture says, you know, Jesus will come back like a thief in the night. That just means we shouldn't know. We're not supposed to know exactly. We just need to prepare ourselves that what if things were to change in 2016 quite drastically? I don't know, guys. But you see, as we worship this morning, and especially in the Afrikaans service, there was a song that we sang. And basically, whether Namibia gets, and I'm not saying that Namibia is going to be invaded by a nation next year, but let's say something were to happen like that, or the economy would crash, or something drastically happen, you know, how will it have an impact on our faith, in what we believe? Our calling will still be to go to the nations, to make the disciples. You see, and I believe as the darkest clouds in history were to gather together, you know, so will it be a glorious time for the church of really leading people to Christ and really making disciples, and really that we will see awesome things that will happen. We've got this whole war going around us about Christ's kingdom, God's kingdom on the one hand, and we see Scripture speaking about the whole world is under the sway of the wicked one. We know how things will end. We can read Revelation and preach many sermons on that. But for now, we're in the middle of that war. We see people terribly get hurt on physical, emotional ways, in many ways. And we as a church, we have to deal with that and be the light and the salt. But we can say this morning, and I want to, in a sense, leave you with that, about the sovereignty of God. You know, I mailed it to a friend of mine earlier in the week just because I knew you would like it so much. And I want to end off by reading a quote from John Piper, also on a quite a recent sermon that he preached, a theologian I really love and got so much respect for. And he said, "Sometimes we need to be reminded by God himself that there are no limits to his rule. We need to hear from him that he is sovereign over the whole world and everything that is happening in it. We need his own reminder that he is never helpless, never frustrated, never at a loss. We need his assurance that he reigns over ISIS, over terrorism, over Syria, Russia, China, India, Nigeria, France, and Saudi Arabia, over the United States, over every nation, every people, every language, every tribe, every chief, president and king, and he goes on, minister, politician, great and small." And we need to go to bed at night with that thought, to know that, you know, guys, if Mark 13 or Matthew 24, if seasons were to change, and we are in the middle of all of that, what would our faith look like? How strong do we really stand? You know, I really feel it's such an amazing thing that people like myself and Pastor Yaku gets invited to the council of the municipality in Swakopmund, where they meet together, that we can open still with prayer and thanksgiving. That is the opportunity. Because many times, you know, when you stand up as a born-again believer and you quote something from Scripture, people will say, he's still caught up in that, you know. He will still see the light in a sense that, you know, it's just history, you know. And wara-wara, and those things go on. We are so privileged in many ways still. So we need to sometimes hear that specific statements from God and his authority and his sovereignty, and that we can just find rest, you know. It's now holiday, it's time of rest, it's a time where we all slow down, except the town gets busier with a lot of people. But how do you really get rest apart from God? That's the only place where we can really go to bed at night and to know that God is sovereign, that he's the King of Kings, and he's the Lord of Lords. And I just want to leave it and hold it before us this morning, you know, that I don't know if it's a nickname for Swakopmund, Slow Town. I refer to it, or things are slow. It's a holiday town, coastal town, nothing negative about it, you know. But we are not on the edge of what's happening around the world. I mean, world things that are happening in the world doesn't affect us that much on a day-to-day basis. We can read all about it, etc. But we just should know. Jesus spoke about these things, and things might change soon. As I said, I want to encourage you. Go and read Pastor Fred's in our newsletter, the staff devotional. Go and listen to those two sermons. It's basically going to say a lot more about rumors of wars, nations against nation, persecution, all those type of things. And it might sound a little bit negative this morning, or maybe that, what are you raving about this morning? But you see, if I read the news report and it says to me it's going to be 42 degrees in Marintal on this Sunday, the 20th of December, I don't have to take a jacket with me. I need to take a bottle of water or three with me. Okay, you need to prepare. And I just feel in my life, and I believe I have got a lot of respect for Pastor Fred's prophetic calling on his life, you know, that we should prepare as well. Not prepare by necessarily buying the cans of food type. I'm talking spiritually now. Spiritually prepare ourselves, strengthen ourselves, that if things were to become, if the world were to look quite a lot different in the next year or two, which is something that might happen, that we are prepared, that we as Christians are prepared, that we are not caught off guard, that we are not distracted, that we will know what our calling is. It's going to stay exactly the same. Things around us might change a lot, but our calling will still stay the same. God will still the same. It might be just a case, and it's something that the church in the West isn't really used to that much. We're going to have to stand up for what we believe in. Okay, we're going to have to really shift gears in many ways. So I'm going to leave that here. I hope it does make a little bit of sense to a few of you guys. And I want to encourage you also, in the sense of, go in your private time. Go and read Mark 13. Go and read Matthew 24. And see what God is speaking to you about. Pray about it. Go and read that part in the newspaper, that two sermons on the 29th of November, Stellenbosch Shofar. You can go and Google it, Pastor Fred May, the AM and the PM services. And I really believe it will add up a little bit. And that it will be a place where we have extra time now during the holidays, that we will strengthen ourselves, that we will really speak to God about the prophetic, what's ahead of us. Okay? Amen. Father, we want to thank you this morning, Lord God, that you are God of God and Kings of Kings, Lord. And Father, in this world, Lord, we're sitting in a small town, in a small nation, with not a lot of people, Father God. But Father, you know about us. You know about each and every one of us. And Father, when you created Mark 13, when you spoke those words privately to Peter and Andrew, Lord, and the guys there on the Mount of Olives, Lord God. Father, they were curious about the future. And Father, you didn't tell them exactly what's going to happen, Lord. But Father, you gave them clues. You said we should look at the fig tree, and then we should discern what season it is. And that when the new branches are on its way, then summer is coming. Father, and we see so many things happening around us, Lord God. Father, you don't want us to get paranoid or to shut down our screensavers to go on, to run away and say, it's not my problem, Lord God. But Father, that we shall be prophetically strong, Lord God, that in our prayer lives corporately, Lord, as the church, Lord God, that we can be sensitive to what you are saying to us, that we can read its signs, Lord God. And Father, there's so many false teaching and things going around, Lord God. We see so many agendas, Lord God, that's there to steal, to kill and destroy, to enslave, Lord God, to break down, Lord. And where we see on all of television, Lord God, your name is cursed and used in vain. Father, this morning we want to bow both our knees and say, Lord, you've got a name above all names, and that you are the King of Kings, Lord, and that your kingdom will reign forever. Father, where we stand this morning, if we think about a new heaven and a new earth, it seems so far away. It seems like something that will probably just come in 1,000 years. But Lord, every day is a day closer to you coming back. Every day is a day closer to judgment, Lord God. And if you said, Lord, there will be like a third world war, Lord, we can believe it, Lord God, because you spoke about it. Father, I pray that you'll guard our hearts, Lord God, that you will keep us sensitive, also as a church, Lord God, and that we can, in these times, Lord God, that we can just prepare ourselves, and as the dark clouds are building, that we can say, arise and shine, Lord God, that this is the time that you've called the church for, Lord God, that the darkest times will be our best times as well. And Father, that we can rest in you, that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Father. And I pray that there will be no place of fear in our hearts, Lord God, that there will be no distraction, Lord God, but Lord, that we can run like athletes, Lord God, that we can run towards that end line, towards that goal, Lord God, of giving it all, Lord God, of being part of prayer, of being part of missions, Lord God, and making the body of Christ work, Lord God. I pray it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I trust that you will have a wonderful Sunday. And